Hey guys, in this episode I'm going to talk to Louis Saar. Louis Saar was a professional soccer player within teams like Manchester United, where he played together with Cristiano Ronaldo. He also played for the French national team. But more importantly is that we talked about the transition from being a professional soccer player and becoming a entrepreneur. And we talk about the difficulties, about some stuff that he could overtake from his learning as a professional soccer player into the entrepreneurial world. Have fun with that episode. Represent tech,
rap, tech, rap. It is the last day of a pretty intense conference. And I'm sitting here together with another speaker at the Web Summit. It is Louis Saar. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit, what brought you here to a tech conference?
The invitation from the Web Summit to actually speak about my experience as an ex-player in the industry, where I think social media has done quite a lot recently to change the overall actual connectivity with the fans and actually the information, how quickly it goes with Twitter, Instagram and all this it's been a kind of a revolution in terms of communication. So I think that was the aim, and obviously it's always good for us as a startup to actually be out there and meet a lot of other startups, other entrepreneurs, other people that have been advised to meet, like investors or people who have that kind of experience in terms of building companies. So it's to have like that kind of numbers in one place is always very interesting. So yes, of course, it's not my world initially because I was in the sports industry, and now we see we talk about AI and all that tech that do have like a massive impact on the life of everybody. So yes, be out there is always important, I think.
Yeah. So for the people who listen and don't actually know about your first career, you were a football player for a long time, playing for Manchester United, Everton, right?
Yes, I did start in France back in the days where France were world champion, let's say. And I just had the opportunity to move quickly in England. So I played in Fulham, and Manchester United was maybe my highest profile club where I managed to win a few trophies and play with big players like Cristiano Ronaldo. So obviously, when you come from France and move to England, and then I finish my career in Italy, I think I managed to grasp a little bit of understanding of the culture of sport and the differences of countries. So it's a good experience and helped me to kind of like think through what I wanted to do next. And that's why we're here, because we have built a digital platform with my partner, where we try to combine the two worlds. So yes, that's the overall mission.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting with sports at least, I think. First of all, you know, you have a short span of time where you can be really successful as a footballer, right? I mean, you start as a young kid, and then maybe you play up to, depending, of course, on your position, but probably up to 35 is sometimes the maximum, right? And then you are still a really, really young person with 35, you know? And the passion and something where you were burning for is suddenly gone. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, it's completely right. You know, that passion that you have been formatted to express the best way possible, desire, you know, like competitiveness on every aspect of your life, not just like on the field. You have to hit well, you have to sleep well, you have to present yourself really well at the public. You always like had that figure when you sign your first contract to be kind of a role model when you haven't been taught to do it. Not prepared. So all those things obviously build you up, like, let's say your ego, your kind of like that focus on performances and be the best and be appreciated by your thing that you manage to show and on a regular basis. So sometimes it's really hard to during your career to understand that, and then suddenly physically you're starting to feel that even the youngster who is 20 is like able to take your place, not because you are not good enough, but just because he's a better value for the club.
Okay.
You know, at some point, this guy, even he hasn't scored like so many goals, who hasn't done so many performances, is going to be a better value for the club. So you become like really a commodity. So get there at 35 or later, if you're lucky, you have to realize that basically you have to find something else. And if you haven't built your career in a certain way to build your network, build your knowledge, build your confidence in whatever business you want to enter, it's difficult and is quite a shock because it's like a small death. You know, you really like don't know what you're doing, and you find yourself like overthinking, doubting, like looking for advice. They don't see the value anymore because there is no maybe the big cash at the end of the transaction. So let's say that it's a moment of loneliness sometimes. You have to go through that aspect of lacking opposition because you are a competitor, but now there is no opposition. So it's you in your mirror. So yeah, that's a difficult time, but if you have the right entourage, I think you can go through. If you have the right family setup, you can go through. Obviously, you have set up correctly your finance, you can go through. It helps a lot, but that's not the case for so many because numbers are said to be 50% of them go bankrupt or go close to it because of the combination of those things that I just mentioned. So, yeah.
And when was it for you? Was it for you already clear when you stopped your career to do a business, to do a startup, to be involved in that kind of new scene?
Yes, I think that there is a combination of things where you want to actually like grasp the opportunity and say, "Oh yes, I done something special in my industry and I want to use it." So basically some people go to coaching, some people go to pundit. So people go and open businesses because of the money they manage and to get during the career, whatever they have like passion into do charity, they can do it now because if you have like no money, it's really hard sometimes to do that. So I think your first career helped that. But to say that you prepared when you have been focused, when you have like that duty of like doing the best all the time, this is in your contract. You have to really perform to your best. So you don't have the time or you think that you don't have it. And then I don't think that your entourage or people you hire to help you to do that have any concern about it. You know, they say, oh yes, it's a good line to say for your client, but do they do it really? I'm not sure. And when they appear to actually see that these youngsters that actually kick you out, you know, they prefer to work for him. Because that's where the actual biggest contract will be. So all those situation make you fragile, and you have to realize that you have to do a bit of research during your career. You have to go through things that are outside your box, that box that has been built for you to be focused. You have to actually go outside and research and learn, and if it's not even within your team, you have to look for someone who's going to do it. And this is not an easy process because people have told you that you have to be scared. This is like scary. That's why you have to give away all the powers, you know. Some go extreme and give all their finances away to someone. Some people are saying that basically any contract need to be signed by someone. They give like I don't know how you call it in English again, but some kind of like allowance to sign contract for whatever it is. Those things happens because it's a very difficult. It's not easy to sign contract and understanding insurance, image right, and all that. But that doesn't mean that you can't look at your contract. It doesn't mean that you can't actually know after one or two or three or four, understand it and say, hey, hang on a minute, I educate myself there and I can actually give my expertise to somebody else. So become an entrepreneur in some ways, because you have lived it and now you can sign it, you can actually master it. And that's, those things are not being given at all by whatever was working with you, because that's not the point.
That's not
what they're paying for. So yes, that was my I would say my initial thoughts about why go into business, or why go into I wanted to do a bit more than just coaching or just like I would say punditry. It's like I want to implement some kind of legacy and tool that is concretely here to help change those things, because if nothing is done, the same mistake will be done, the same information will be kept apart, and so many so many stories will repeat, and this is not the way forward.
Okay, when you were a professional footballer, I imagine you had a strict plan on what you eat, strict plan on your training sessions, when you go to sleep, and so on. What other learnings, or first of all, is that true? Could you overtake into your work as a startup entrepreneur? Are you as strict with your rules and your timetables as you were as a soccer player?
The difference is because of a soccer player, you have a structure around you that do that for you. You know, when you say about structure, that's something the club is doing for you. You know, they do the schedule of the car to pick you up, the bus to pick you up, and the training session are settled. You know, it's like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. May the only time is when you are there in your house and you have to actually pay your bills and do your school trip for the kids and all that's no normal life situation that you may think. And but the actual profession, it's about your dedication on the field, on the training pitch. Mm-hmm. And this is not saying that it's the easiest part in some ways. If you are focused on that, it's like still hard because you have critiques and you have to deal with that and you have to improve where with it and use it in the right way. So those things are mentally demanding. You go through injuries, you go through a lot of things where within your club you have competition and you have to fight every day, otherwise you understand. So things like this doesn't happen in any businesses, you know, like you have a contract and you know that this is your job. Not treated every day, you know. So those things are, in terms of insecurity, it's like something like is you build some kind of like strength about like anyone's gonna say something bad to you or anyone gonna challenge you. You're gonna say, hang on a minute, I'm gonna use it to prove you. That's the ego thing that you're using. So yes, I see your point in terms of like going into business now. I can use that kind of strength, organization and that, but I'm not prepared. So I'm not educated. I don't have the vocabulary to say the right things, sometimes the right moment, how to digest an information, how to analyze it and communicate. You have different languages, even in your language. You know, so all those things are business-wise take time. Naturally, sometimes people say you don't need a PhD to actually do business. Of course, you don't. You don't need to have like that kind of analyze and you know, that flair and stuff like this. You're a big mouth and you can make business. But I think when you want to do good things the right way, you have to be organized. You have to be, I would say, up to look at details and stuff like this, because there is the business is hard. So especially tech and nowadays are very specific and all that. So if you, I think, walk in certain way, things bite you the end of the journey. So I think that what you do during your career, you pick up all this style of management, even if it's not business. Mm-hmm. But Sir Alex Ferguson has different style with another manager, and you say, oh, I think he was more flexible here and more strict down here. Why? Because he wanted that certain type of expression. So some players needed a tap there behind their back, and some others need to be shaked off and really, aggressive. Being aggressive is not only the word; it's just like challenge. Yes.
Yeah.
So some people need to be challenged and say, "Listen, you're rubbish. You won't play. You won't do it."
Yeah.
And this is where that drives some kind of like forces that you,
okay,
because you are, it's outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So those things you can definitely use that in business.
Yeah, and that is similar to business, right? I mean, especially when you build a startup, it is most of the time a company or a business model that didn't exist before, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just opening a grocery store or restaurant, what people did 1,000 times. When you build a startup, it is something completely new, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So definitely in the beginning, there will be people saying, this is not going to work, which is basically similar when the trainer says you are rubbish or something,
yeah,
right?
It's something that you have to use to refocus and challenge yourself and say, you have to listen to the critics and say, maybe he's right, maybe not 100% of what he's saying is right, but let's use that. Whatever
yeah.
it is, you know, the result is like challenge yourself and do the research again and make sure that you're still confident about your product because you have the ability to change if you want to. It's a mind thing sometimes, but for the purpose, the failing things, it's just the timing. You know,
yeah.
If you get dedicated and you set your target, it will be successful now, and you get always frustrated because things take time sometimes. And
yeah.
So failure is you calling it. But no, if you making sure that things go, you know, in certain way, you research. There is like scientists, you know, they asking them to research cancer, for example, how to cure it or whatever the diseases that. So they are searchers, you know, they're searchers. Why we want them is to find them, to mm-hmm. find, to be a finder. That's not what we do, you know, in terms of like being an entrepreneur, you trying to change things and you research constantly because changing is always like, you know, there is always some ideas who's going to come and improve what you do. So we say that tech is like next day is obsolete, you know, it's basically it, you know, so don't think that you're a failure. You are participating to actually
yes.
improvement.
Yes. And I mean, that is on the other side. Better than a football career because the football career says, okay, we're 35, you're out of business, but being an entrepreneur, you can be an entrepreneur till 90
yeah.
years old, you know,
yeah.
so you have plenty of time, you know, so you can take the time and learn, fail, learn out of it,
yeah,
and slowly
evolved, yeah.
you will get better.
Yeah, so there is an aspect where I always say in way with people that I really appreciate, I take time to give my point of view. I say the most difficult things to do in life is using time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the time sometimes, time is like pressure, stress is everything because people get to answer something straight away, you know, you want
yeah.
a solution, you so all that is stress, you know, and some people will say, oh, hang on a minute, let me think and breathe and take the right decision. So the way you use time is vital.
Mm-hmm.
It make you things harder or simpler in a way that you see it. So and the way that you have like build this in the way you work, the way to make things the way you see them. If you don't use that, like there is no success because things that, you know, really you are very passionate about it take times.
Yeah.
They're really, it's really rare. It happens. Some people are very successful after 3-4 months of business
sure.
running. It happens, you know. Exception is there for sharpening up things. It's normal, but I think that most of the time things take time and you have to use it the right way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think also often because of those big tech role models that we have,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Mark Zuckerberg,
mm-hmm.
Bill Gates and so on, all of those guys got pretty successful in their early years.
Mm-hmm.
So people anticipate, hey, it goes that fast, you know, no. and don't take the time. But most of the people, it takes time, you know.
Yeah, definitely. The example, if you talk about like Zuckerberg or Bill Gates, all those guys who have been inspired by God in some ways, because it's amazing. But in sport, let's say Mbappe is the same. And a lot of youngsters will say, yes, everything can happen to me the same way as Mbappe. It's only one Mbappe.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy is just like won the World Cup, when he can win anything. Because he's got such a talent and such a very focused way of doing his job. But no, every youngster can say, I think I'm ready, as he done. So
yeah. Let's go a little bit back to your startup, Access Stars. How was the evolution of the idea of Access Stars in the early days? We talked now a lot about learnings, failures, and so on. How was it for you in the beginning, in the middle, and what comes next for you?
The start, and we call all the stories and the good, the bad ones. The actual same story come as well from other partners, different sport, different industry as well. And I say, wow, these things need to be addressed, and starting to write a book. And this book was helping me either on therapy to actually understand what happened to me.
Yeah.
Because you have like that kind of motion and say, oh yes, I'm a competitor. So I was very focused on the next thing. I wasn't like realizing what I'd done or what, you know. It was like just, oh, I need to improve all the time. So it was a kind of a machine. This book helped me. But it was more a guide. So I was trying to understand, give step by step what happened when you reach the academy, when you get there and you sign your first contract, what happened, the personal life with a wife, with a kid, and all those stories, and on and on. Then when I finished and I published that book, I felt like the critics was really good. Some people really appreciate it and help them. But it's a book, so I don't think that everybody has read it, because I didn't do any scandal. It was no buzz inside. There was no bad story or something like this about other players or something like this. So I just thought that digital was like really good to tell the way things should be done, the way stories should be told in some way that the others won't do the same. So all those things, the mentoring aspect, being in a very close environment, like where the service provider will be verified, the actual information will be curated, all those things that can help the stars to actually grow during their career, being in control of all those things can help them having the confidence to educate themselves. So all those things build in some way that ID, in a way that I needed then help from Kate to input the actual partner side, where the actual business need partners to publish opportunities, need services that actually can help the stars in some ways and another. Those links need to be direct, more direct. Why? Because it used to be a big gap in between. So in between, there is a lot of people, intermediaries come in and blocking and say they are the best and so on. And to make a choice in that, it was very difficult. So we built something that will stop stars to actually have to gamble anymore on service providers, because there is a rating saying I recommend him. So we forced actually the partners to work long term. So make sure that this community grow with confidence in terms of business.
So your platform basically matches sports stars with brands, right?
Yeah, with trusted service providers and brands. Okay. So any company will love to find an ambassador, will love someone to be invited in an event, bang. If they want to actually sell product directly to those guys, they can. If they want to actually propose some service as an expert, like an expert in investment or a lawyer or something like this, they can. So the actual strength of the application is like the stars enter their interest, and the publishing part of the partner allowed him to target the actual audience that they want to. So the service itself is very autonomy. So he allowed those guys to actually connect in a transparent way. So there is example where maybe a free hotel or free TV could be given to a star to promote this product. Mm-hmm. But if it goes to an agent will say, I don't have any interest because I don't get any cut. So the actual client will never know about this thing until he get what he wanted. So whatever. Yeah. So those things won't happen because this goes direct to the stars. And if he wants to actually ask his agent what he think about it, what he should negotiate, whatever it is, he can look at the contract. So that's normal. The actual client or who should be approached first will be with all the information.
Yeah, crazy. So you speed up not only the process, you make it also more transparent.
Yes, that's the aim, the transparency aspect. But everyone is talking about transparency, but they don't like it. They prefer transparency next door. Sometimes it's hard to actually implement all those, compliance and stuff like this. We actually, as TripAdvisor, have done for the hotels where there is rating and where is like understanding what product you want to sleep with. You know, it's like, I want to go in that hotel for a very romantic night. I go in a specific hotel.
Yeah.
So that's basically what we want with whatever is a lawyer, whatever is, you want a very, I don't know, like someone who is like very rated, you know, that's going to be expensive. You go for it because you want to clear your problem. And if you think that is not a massive situation, you go for a smaller one. So those situations, by the rating, by the indicators, help you to make the right decision.
Yeah. And how do you try to scale your product now? I mean, did you start within a certain niche, like in a sports area first, or?
Yes, it will be sport because obviously it's very specific and it's pretty much my industry, let's say. But the stories are the same in the cinema industry and music.
Music, right?
They definitely need help. So whatever it's a contract, whatever is investment, they have time, they don't have time, they're on all over the world, tax-wise, whatever it is, you know, we're trying to kind of facilitate the information. At least the information will be there, and if they want to have like a concrete transaction or services provided to them, they will maybe browse and find what they want. But at least they can see the market value, as like any marketplaces. But the actual power of these things is to be in a very exclusive community because it's very specific, and let's say in the public, I'm not going to say that nobody cares, but if you have like an issue and it's about stories and a tabloid, whatever, it's up to you. You know, there's like, there is no people thinking, oh, the poor guy, you know, it's not going to help you. So we have created a kind of environment to help them to feel not lonely. People have bad stories as well. People can share that, and that's okay, you know.
Yeah.
There is like issue with mental health. People don't want to show that they are weak. We have that kind of like formation to not show any weaknesses. So by saying that, listen, we are here. We want to be kind of a bit more in control. I like this project. I like this community because it allowed me to educate myself on my own time with the tool that I think that can help me. Maybe not now, but maybe in two, maybe three. When happens something, I will be confident. That's why we're building. It takes time. We mentioned about time, but the information will be there.
Yeah, cool. Super good.
Thank
it's super
you.
nice concept. It reminds me a little bit. Do you know or do you remember the big scandal around Jeru and the Fyre Festival?
Yeah.
And
don't say remember you that.
But you know, everybody has a Mainz of Fire festival.
Yeah.
But the idea behind it was actually clever and similar, like your idea. You know, it was also about, hey, we have music stars, and here are people, you know, who want them on an event. I guess it was event related. Let's match them together and don't have like a manager in between who makes either everything more complicated, a little bit slower, and takes a cut out of it, and so on, you know? So when I saw the documentary and heard about the scandal, I often thought, yeah, damn it.
Yeah.
That was a good app idea, you know? So they fucked it all up with this big promotion and the big scandal around it. So even nicer to hear that you are going into a similar direction. Because the idea is pretty nice.
Yeah, thank you. The thing is, like, we definitely don't want to end up like them.
No.
The nice thing about it is, I think I watched this documentary, so I learned from it. If we go there, it's really to making sure that those stories are shared. You know, the most important element is the star himself, like, and the partners. Communicate. So the actual transaction, the actual whatever the agent and all of that, it's down to them. So it's a very agnostic platform. So we've seen it when maybe journalists were scared about Twitter, how it's going to disrupt. Maybe the star will actually promote or discuss directly with the fans and all that, and maybe press will lose the control.
Yeah.
It didn't happen like this. The actual industry evolved with Twitter, and that's basically why we're trying to find it. There is a right balance between giving like the tool for those guys to actually say, I want this, I'm interested, I want to raise my hand. So there is no industry like this where actually the staff have no choice. Never entered. Let's say I never entered my room to negotiate my own contract. So basically, you don't see that in any industry.
Yeah.
You will go and you present yourself and say, no, I want this contract. No, no. Let's say that's unique. So those things, there is a balance, there is an in-between, and we're trying to get that fairness into that process. So it's nothing to do about like influencers or being together or something like this.
Yeah.
It's more about like addressing and create new standards, because the overall industry needs it. They need mentors, they need people who are serious in the industry, who want to work properly, to be at the front, to be recognized. So those guys who work properly don't need to be with the sharks. They need to be separated and say, you premium.
Yeah.
I want you, you deserve to be there. You have the ability to do the job that is you've been asking for, and you're going to be rewarded, because those stars will get, oh, that's why they're doing well. So it's a better business.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much
for
that interview. Was super nice. Yeah, I really liked it overall. Yeah, talking about the similarities and difference from sports to being an entrepreneur, then how you moved into it, and lastly also, the very nice and thoughtful business model behind your startup. Thank you so much that you were here.
Thank you.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and please tell everybody to listen to that podcast. If you liked it, if you enjoyed it, please subscribe it, rate it, whatever works best for you. Write me an email. I love to get in touch with you, and I mean it like I say it. So please enjoy the rest of your day and week, and make the best out of it. Bye.